This morning as we gather together, and whether you're joining us online or here in person, I suspect that there are those that chose to not get out in the snow that are joining us online, but it's beautiful out there. But I want us to consider what it looks like to live in God's presence every day. Not simply something that we dream of, not simply something that we long for to happen sometime in the distant future or not so distant future, depending on where we're at in our stage of life and how soon we think we're going to finish this one. But to live in the presence of God. What does that look like? I was watching the video that was being played a little bit earlier. I wonder, did you see yourself in there? We see that, and sometimes because it's brought out here on the Sanctity of Life Sunday and month, and we think about, well, the unborn. But what about you and I? We do show that. We do believe in the value of those that are not yet born, but do we live with that same sense of value once we are born? Once we live among people? This morning I've entitled the message, Choose Life. And while on the surface it may sound like a typical pro-life, anti-abortion message, that's not really what it is. Because the primary text we're going to look at out of the book of Deuteronomy is talking to people like you and me. And God is challenging people like you and me to choose life. I've got several of them, and you probably have heard me say this about different ones, but likely there's a good chance you've heard me say it about this verse because it is near the top. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 10:10. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full." And sometimes I think we settle for just life. And we don't live that day-to-day life to the full in the presence of God like He wants us to. So this morning we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verses 11 through 20, I've kind of mixed up the order a little bit to fit my outline. We're going to use that word life. And it was hard to pronounce the other spelling of I-L-F-E, so we're going to go with life. But what does it look like every day to choose life? I think the first thing that I notice that we ought to be wrapped our minds around and our actions around is to choose life to the full means that we choose love. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 and 16 says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. And then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." Sometimes we get caught up in that because he talks about keeping the commands. He talks about obedience. But at the very heart of this challenge to choose between life and death is this challenge to choose love. To love the Lord your God. When Jesus is asked what is the greatest command of all, we know the answer. In fact, the person asking the question knew the answer. Because Jesus turned it around and says, "What do you think?" And he gives what Jesus says is the right answer. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus says the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. That upon all, on these two commands, to choose love. Everything else in God's word hinges on that. So what does it look like in your life and my life and if we go about day-to-day activity to choose love? Well, I would hope and I would guess and I would think if we chose love according to God's commands, according to His precepts, according to His instructions, that the way we interact with one another is going to be quite different than the way the world interacts with one another. We live in a time of great division. I don't have to point that out. It's everywhere. And it seems like there are always people around us that are trying to deepen that divide. And the problem is there's no love involved. And when we choose life to the full, we choose love in such a way that we care for the needs of others even above our own. We respect their needs. We respect what's going on in their life. We understand and we seek to understand. What does it look like this week if that person that just you just don't get along with at work, you just don't get along with wherever you are, maybe it's even a family member. If you would wake up every day and say, I'm going to choose love. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this. But a man would lay down his life for his friends. And sometimes we're not even willing to lay down the remote to the TV. Because we want what we want. And what would it look like in our homes and in our church family if we chose love? But not only do we need to choose love, I believe there's a second part to this, choosing life to the full. Also in the choosing love, one of these verses, I wrote it down here and I almost forgot it. Proverbs 21:21 says, he who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Did you catch that? He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Aren't those things we want? If you would be watching television or scrolling through social media and somebody would say, here is the secret to finding life, prosperity. Now, given the nature of our culture, you'd probably be a little skeptical. Everybody's trying to sell you something. But if it was presented in a way that you believed it, wouldn't it at least get your attention a little bit? I wonder what it would take to actually have life, prosperity, and honor. I might listen a little more closely. God says, pursuing love and righteousness results in those things. Choose love. And you might say, well, I do. There are people in my life that I love. There are people that I agree with that I love. There are people that look like me that I love. There are people that act like me that I love. Well, that's not really love. That's just finding people that like you or that are like you. The second part takes us, I believe, to a greater level, the level that God wants us to include. And that's to choose inclusion. The first part of this passage, Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 14, God kind of lays out this choice that He set before them. But He wants them to make it, He wants to make it clear that it's not as complicated as they were trying to make it out to be. It's not as complicated as what we often make it out to be. In Deuteronomy 30, beginning at verse 11, he says, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. Now, when I talk about choosing inclusion, I'm not talking about a mindset or an attitude that anything is just as good as anything else. That any way that you choose to pursue God is just as good as any other way. The Bible's clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through Him. When I talk about choosing inclusion, I'm talking about choosing who you share the good news with, and that's everyone. There should be no one that's off limits to sharing Jesus with. You probably are familiar, most of those in this room at least, with Acts 2:38, a verse we use often about Peter's response to those that are wondering, what do we do now that we know who Jesus is? You know it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sin, and you will receive the forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Acts 2:39 is just as powerful in a lot of different ways, because it's a verse that says we choose inclusion. We choose to present the message to everyone. Acts 2:39 says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Did you catch the alls in there? We choose life to the full when we choose to include everybody, whether they agree with our opinions or whether they don't. We present the message of gospel. We love like Jesus loved us. And many times it's that act of love that opens the door so that the good news of Jesus can be heard. When I was down helping in Kentucky, one of the homes that I knocked on to see if they needed help, disaster coordinator had gone there first. And he says, there's a sign on the door that says, salesmen and tree services, do not knock. Evidently, in talking with the gentleman later, he had a lot of people wanting to help him that weren't really wanting to help him. And so the IDES coordinator went ahead and said, well, I'm not a salesman and I'm not really a tree service. So he went ahead and knocked anyhow. And the guy opened the door and again, introduced himself as being there with the Bowling Green Christian Church and noticed there were trees down across his shed and in his yard. And did he want any help cleaning it up? And he agreed to have us come and help him. As I was talking with the homeowner after we'd cleaned it up and commenting about the sign, and he says, yeah, I've got a dog that is just friendlier than all get out until somebody knocks. And then that dog goes crazy. And so all week, people have been knocking on my door, and the dog has been going crazy and tearing the house apart, and I just got tired of it. And he says, but they were people from who knows where. He says, but you guys came and you said you were with the Bowling Green Christian Church, which is just down the road from me. I drive past it every day. And I says, I trust them. He had never been to the Bowling Green Christian Church. He had never, in our conversation, had any indication that he really even believed in God. But there was a group of people representing a church that he knew of that was willing to help him with no questions asked. And when I talk about choosing inclusion, I'm talking about offering your life to others with no strings attached. I'll help you if you come to church with me. I'll help you if you do this. I'll and we make a lot of excuses. And we kind of limit those to whom we share the good news with. And when we choose life according to God's definition of life to the full, we choose to include people, period. There's no disclaimers. There's no fine print. Jesus says, all who are thirsty, come. Do we offer that same invitation when we live life as representatives of Jesus? You see, we choose life when we choose love. We choose life when we choose inclusion. We let Jesus do the transforming. I'm not that powerful. I have a tough enough time changing the things in my life that I want to change, let alone trying to change someone else's life. God's the one that changes me. He's the one that can change them if change is needed. So we choose love, we choose inclusion, we also choose faithfulness. Deuteronomy 30, verses 17 and 18 says, but if your hearts turn away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. You think, well, that sounds pretty discouraging. But I think sometimes we need to hear that warning that God calls us to choose faithfulness. This isn't condemnation. This isn't telling them that you're doomed. It's simply laying out the consequences for a lack of faithfulness. Now, the good news is that even as God gives those consequences, He will tell them later that from wherever you are, no matter how far off you've strayed, no matter how lost you've become, there is a way home. He says, if you seek me from anywhere and you seek me with a whole heart, I will be found. You see, this idea of choosing faithfulness says, I want to do what is right. I want to do what is obedient according to God's standards. I recognize the pain that I cause Him when I disobey. For those watching, for those in this room that are parents, you understand that at least to one level. We want our children to grow up and be obedient. I'm guessing that anyone that's a parent that's listening to this can attest to the fact that that did not always happen. And if your parent is in the room, they would say the same about you. That desire for obedience, while it was perhaps taught, while it was encouraged, while it was put forth as the standard, we didn't always do it like we should. And I'm here to say that God loves us more than our parents love us. And for some, that's a statement that you might say, well, of course. Perhaps your parents didn't love you in the way that you felt you needed love. Perhaps they weren't the parent that you thought they should have been. And so to know that God loves you more than them, that can be an easy thing to accept. But for others of you, you think, well, that's a pretty high standard. I think of the love that my parents have for me. And it's a great love. And I believe they would do anything for me that was within their power to do. They always have. And to recognize God is greater. God doesn't have the limits of what He can do. And so when we choose life to the full, we choose faithfulness, knowing that God's the one that brings us to that. We can't do it on our own. God made it clear in His Word that all, again, back to the inclusion part, all have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And yet there's still hope. Because of His great love, we are not consumed. This warning that He gave in Deuteronomy that if they chose to disobey, if they chose to leave, they would be destroyed. I think so many times throughout Scripture you find the people of God walking away. And oftentimes it wasn't a simple one day we woke up and decided, I want nothing more to do with God. Most of the time it was this gradual slide that God just became less and less important in their life. And they would see some neighboring country or some visiting dignitary come into their country, and what they talked about, what they lived like, it intrigued them. And so many times when the nation of Israel would stray away from God, it wasn't so much that they woke up and just left, it was they just kept adding other things. And they would add a little of this, and they would add a little of that, and some of this, and pretty soon God wasn't to be found anywhere in their midst. And as we began the message and led out of that song of In Your Presence, Lord, how often do we choose faithfulness to such an extent that we put aside those distractions, those things that we kind of set up? Rarely, if you're here listening today, rarely are there things that we set up ahead of God, but things that we set up at least equal to Him. And when we begin to do that, those things that we set up as equal begin to crowd Him out. And we have life to the full. We have life each day in His presence when we choose faithfulness. We recognize that He is with us. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him." You read the letters to the churches in the first part of the book of Revelation, and you'll find this refrain that talks about God rewarding those who are faithful to the end, to those who hold on, to those who do not give up. And when we live life seeking to honor Jesus, I believe it's important that we choose faithfulness. But there's another word that it's not on the outline on the screen, but I think is equally important. And perhaps in our human life, even more important to point out, and that's to choose forgiveness. For those times when we're not faithful like we should have been, when we know what God says, but we do things our way anyhow, to know His love forgives. And to live in that same way, that when we choose faithfulness, that we choose it in an attitude of being forgiven and an attitude that forgives others. Finally, as we consider what it looks like to choose life to the full, we choose love, we choose inclusion, we choose faithfulness, but we also choose encouragement. I think this is where the real application in our interactions with one another comes into play. Life is difficult. I'm not sure if you've noticed that or not, but it is tough. And one of the things that I believe that the enemy that Satan likes to do that seems to be most effective is to isolate us from one another. We talk about the divisions within our country, within our world, all tools of the enemy that have been used quite well to make us feel alone, to make us feel that no one cares, to make us feel that no one understands. And so when we choose life to the full, we choose encouragement, not only to receive the encouragement from God's word, but to choose to encourage one another. Verses 19 and 20 out of Deuteronomy chapter 30 says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." As this section of scripture kind of wraps up this choice that God is laying before his people, He ends it with this great encouragement. There is a choice between life and death, but choosing life means life not just for you, but those that come after you. It's a life that is contagious. It's a life that impacts the lives of others. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 address us and the way that we choose encouragement as a part of the life that we have in Christ. He says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But rather encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Who do you know that's struggling? Anyone? I'm sure they're all around you. We live in a culture that we try to hide that a lot. We really don't want people to know, but they're there. What would it look like for you to encourage them? I think one of the first places to start in the application of that is to consider what things encourage you. And I know we're unique creations of God, and there's differences in what things mean to me and what they mean to you as far as depth of meaning. But if you're unsure about how to encourage someone, consider what it would look like for them to encourage you and do the same for them. It's a start, if nothing else. Maybe it's just knowing that somebody thought about you. Well, perhaps there are those around you that need to know that you've thought about them. Perhaps it's being aware that someone cares. You see, choosing life to the full says we choose to encourage one another because, as the writer of Hebrews put out, because of sin's deceitfulness that can harden our heart. That's the difficulty of the world that we live in. Because even if we're not drawn into a life of obvious sin that everybody looks at and says, "Oh, goodness, I can't believe he's doing that," it's pretty easy for the enemy to come along and harden our heart, to embitter us against one another, to plant within us attitudes that aren't seen, but they change the way that we represent Jesus. You see that favorite verse of mine that I started with, "The thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy." Have you seen any of that happening in your family? In your workplace? In your school? in your city? I'm guessing you have. But Jesus says he has come that you might have life and life to the full. Today, as we come to a time of decision, the question really is out there, what are you choosing? Are you going to leave this place today choosing love? To let love be your guide on how you interact with others? Are you going to leave this place today choosing inclusion? Having no one that you would refuse to share the good news of Jesus with, but you would recognize his message is not only for you, it's for you to share. Will you leave this place choosing faithfulness and forgiveness? A faithfulness that pursues God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, with an awareness that even in our weaknesses and our failures, God does not turn his back on us. And today, will you choose encouragement? It was my desire with this message that it would encourage you to choose life. It would encourage you to live daily in the presence of God. It would encourage you to love like Jesus loves. But that it would encourage you to encourage one another. The text we read out of Hebrews says, as long as it is called today. And guess what? You wake up tomorrow, by then it'll be called today. And every day that you wake up, it will be called today. And God says, that's the good day to encourage one another. If you're here on a regular basis, you've heard David say numerous times about the best day to be saved is today. Well, the best day to encourage someone else, according to God, is today. Will you do it? If you're outside of Christ, if you're watching online, if you're here today and you've never expressed a repentance of your sin, if you've never had your sins washed away, that's the place to choose real life in Christ. That's where all of this starts. We'd love to talk to you about how to make that happen. But for most of us that gather, we've given our life to Christ. At some point in our life, we've sat down and we've stood before others and we say, I choose Jesus and the life that he gives. And for us, the decision is, what will I do about it? Will I live life to the full? Would you stand as we pray? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has been poured out upon us, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, not because we've done anything spectacular to get your attention, but because we're your children. And so, God, today, help us to choose life and life to the full. Not simply to choose life for those yet born and to speak on their behalf, but to choose life for ourselves. A life that loves, a life that includes, a life that is faithful, a life that encourages. And Father, as we choose that life, may the people around us see you in us. May our community be a better place to live. May our workplaces and our schools be better places to be at. May our church be a more vibrant community and body of believers because we've each chosen life. And we love and we include and we're faithful and we encourage one another because it's today. because you've told us to. Father, may we be encouraged to share Jesus at every opportunity that we have. And as we lift up Jesus, may many be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen.